The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. We'll do a relatively short show because I have another appearance at 9 p.m. Eastern Time with Richard Spencer. We'll be shooting the shit or talking about the news. And today will be just on the regular show, will be a review of the news. Hulk Hogan was 70 years old when he became born again. Here he is having his baptism. I didn't know that he had baptism through immersion, and today he has died. Hulk Hogan has died. I don't think much of the man, but he showed up for Trump at a moment where he believed that Trump was good for America. I may disagree with him on this, and perhaps it's a little late. It was the late part where Trump was starting to show signs of not being the right candidate. But at the same time, it's fine. It's fine that he had his own beliefs about what was good for America, and he came to defend Trump right after Trump got shot and sided with the Republican Party during the election. He was a symbol of muscles, you know, these... We don't have this anymore. Like, who in the next generation is going to be the equivalent of a Hulk Hogan, carrying kind of this American aesthetic, American strongman aesthetic? We don't have an equivalent. So these guys, they look all like something from the past. You think of them as something from the past that we have completely given up. People were reminding themselves of the important moments of Hulk Hogan. One of them was making Gawker, the website that was looking into people's private lives, and the website that was basically one of these rags, TMZ style, getting into people's personal lives and celebrities. Hulk Hogan did a lawsuit when Gawker got a full videotape of his sex act with Heather Klemm. So they published the video, the sex tape of Hulk Hogan, and Hulk Hogan sued them, got awarded $140 million in court for invasion of privacy and intentional infliction of emotional distress. And eventually this led to the bankruptcy of Gawker, and eventually Hulk Hogan settled for getting only $31 million instead of the $140 million, but from a company that was in bankruptcy, not bad at all. There are still, I didn't know there could be such a thing. There are still people who worked at Gawker who are pissed at Hulk Hogan for having them lose their job. Look, I have no sympathy whatsoever. If you were a writer for Gawker, good riddance if you lost your job in the process of the bankruptcy. Yvette D'Entremont says, so Hulk Hogan died? As a former Gawker writer, as are all Gawker writers thanks to Hulk Hogan, I won't be the first or the last to say, fuck that guy. Dance on any grave you want to, but this one is mine. not a very intelligent way to celebrate Hulk Hogan's death, even if you hate him. You know, your newspaper was exploiting the private sex life of a man. By the way, like, what are you standing for? The private videos of people to be publishable on the internet? Like, in other circumstances, when it's a female victim, it gets called revenge porn, and there's starting to be laws against revenge porn. Now, Hulk Hogan was one of the early ones who got basically revenge porn pulled from his personal life into the public sphere. End of the line. Joel says, modern Americans have been indoctrinated to hate their own country in a way. Because of what the US has become, they are partially correct. A sad decline. Indeed, indeed. We have Charlie Kirk here trying to make a focus group about how should TPUSA handle the Israel question. And it's like, it's so tame, so late, so little, but at the same time, you can see from it that we are absolutely winning. This has become an unavoidable subject. There is too much pro-Israel bias in the mainstream right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Does that resonate with you?
Oh yeah, exactly.
You're not anti-Israel. You don't wish them harm. You're not, you know, like cheering on Iran.
No, I support Israel. I think they're our ally. I want them.
But you would be called an anti-Semite by some people for saying this.
And I think that's ridiculous. I don't hate Jews because I think a nation should defend themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, I think that's the most ridiculous thing ever.
I feel like it's becoming like the word racism. Like, we just disagree with them, so we just have to call them a name. I don't think they're actually anti-Semitic. I think people just can't agree with them and they can't prove them wrong. So they just throw a word out and be like, you're anti-Semitic because you think that we should stop sending our money there.
Something that I see amongst the people I'm around, I do see more like general disdain towards, I mean, just being honest, Jewish people.
That's correct.
Just because they're constantly being told that you hate Jews. And it's like, fine. If you're going to say I hate Jews over and over and over again, like, if I'm going to be convicted of the crime, I might as well do the crime. I fear the same thing happens with all the talk of race. The more we talk about it, the more we bring it up, the more racism actually happens.
This is, like, I try to tell... thank you for saying this. Like, because, like, this is... I try to tell these people, and they're like, we must get more aggressive. And so, like, let me ask a question. If we were to say, if we were to remove... Like, if people said what Tucker said is anti-Semitic, mm-hmm. I don't hold that view. But it's like a lot of people on Twitter are like calling us out and like, if, whatever, that's not gonna happen. But if we were to cancel Tucker, would anti-Semitism increase or decrease?
I think increase, because that means any supporter of Tucker Carlson's statement therefore makes them anti-Semitic.
Yeah, exactly. Association, mm-hmm. 100%.
Exactly.
But the binary that's presented is that if you don't passionately talk about it, you are a hater.
Yes.
That's probably destructive for everybody involved. So for me, I'm trying to find this new path, which is, I love Israel. I visited there. My wife and I had the best experiences ever. I saw where Jesus rose from the dead and he walked on water. But also, I'm an American and I represent a generation that can't afford anything, and that we are like flooded with illegals and no one speaks English and our hospitals are clogged. I think we need to have the prudence to reject the Jew hate. Like, okay, we're not going to put up with that. That's dumb. But also, if you call everyone an anti-Semite, if they don't take a puritanical view of the Netanyahu government, then I think it's bad for everybody.
So would you guys all...
It's pretty much damage control, what they're trying to do. So it's not like, oh, Charlie Kirk will become a voice for opposition to Jewish interest in American culture. He won't. He said it himself. He did the trip to Israel. But it shows that they are kind of in a panic, and they're wondering, how do we speak to this new generation who don't want to hear? They don't want to hear the same discourse, the same pro-Israeli subversive discourse where you have to be on the side of Israel. Now they're trying to package this into, oh, maybe you object to the Netanyahu government. This is exactly what the left has tried to do. You know, they've tried to say, oh, we're anti-war, and what we really hate is the Netanyahu government, the Netanyahu right-wing government. It didn't work very much because you realize if you fight this set of interests, you realize that they're pretty much all together. And they have their agents within the left and the right, and it's not like a specific party of Netanyahu that's the problem. It's much more global, and it includes a bunch of Jews who don't even go to Israel often, and they live in the US and they seek to influence in the direction of Israel the decisions of the US. An El Salvadorian migrant accidentally self-deported himself after missing his freeway exit in California, ending up in Mexico. He was then arrested when he tried to re-enter and will now be sent back to El Salvador. Adios. So a new trick. A new trick, you know, a turkey trap type of trick. To deport people, to get them to self-deport, you just make the road signs unclear, and they're like driving, and they don't realize, but they enter Mexico so easily, and you don't put any border agents, you don't put anything, you just let them drive through, and then they have to re-enter. In this case, this guy couldn't re-enter. We have a big event in the lawsuit against Candace Owens. That's quite amazing. Because Candace Owens has been out there claiming that Emmanuel Macron's wife, Brigitte Macron, is a man, born a man. And, you know, my position on this is, first, I have been surprised at the assuredness with which Candace Owens said, I'm staking my entire journalistic career on this. She's a man. I was surprised by this degree of certitude now, because personally, I'm not fully convinced that Brigitte Macron is a man. I think it's an interesting theory. I think there's a good case for it to be made, but it depends which evidence you weigh. It depends on a lot of things. How you weigh this evidence, how you weigh the secrecy. So I've been just enjoying the popcorn moment of looking at Candace Owens going super strong on this coverage, and now she's getting sued. Now this could be a major lawsuit, because there's a lot of questions at play in American freedom of speech versus defamation. The context has changed. In the 90s and the 2000s, the Mali standard of defamation was held for celebrities. So basically, you had to be really evil and intentional in wanting to harm someone with falsehood. It's going to be, and this standard is still here. However, we know that there is at the Supreme Court, Clarence Thomas has been wanting to undermine this standard because it creates kind of an injustice between public personalities and private people. And who's a private person anymore, anyways? You know, in this day of social media, who's a private person? They even invented, to circumvent the Mali standard, they invented a concept that is called a temporary celebrity. It's another term, I forget the term, but it's basically, okay, you are a private person, but for the purpose of this particular defamation case, you are an instant celebrity. Your private life is relevant to the public discourse, and this has given the Mali standard, has led it to be applied even to private individuals who never wanted to be public personalities, but who, by the circumstances of their action on a given day, they were judged as temporary celebrities. So yes, this Mali standard, and then you've seen in Alex Jones that ultimately a jury can just decide, yeah, okay, you meet the Mali standard. And to me, there's no doubt in my mind that when Alex Jones was covering the shootings and claiming that they were fake or somehow organized by some degree of nefarious actors. It makes no doubt to me that Alex Jones was honestly trying to pursue the truth, and therefore, by principle, he shouldn't have been found to be violating the Malley standard, actual Malley standard. But the jury decided, fuck it. It's like when you get canceled by the crowd, the juries can decide emotionally to make you fit a legal principle, even if you don't really. So the same here could happen. You know, Candace Owen may be regarded as a out there personality making out there claims, and she could be seen as somewhat dangerous if she's willing to stake her reputation on something that perhaps is not true. So Candace Owen seems to be absolutely willing to do the fight. She is standing by her reporting.
You were born a man and you will die a man. That's the point I'm making. So give us a sample. I'll send my doctors to take your blood. Figure it out real quick, however you want to go about this. Hey, how about just giving us some pictures again of you growing up, raising your children? That would be fine. For whatever reason, to phone, by the way. Like I said, we'll get to the bottom of it. Right, that is what discovery is for. I'm going to ask a lot of questions. You're probably hoping, this will go away and at least we'll say we sued her. We'll say we went after her. She'll probably file for this to get dismissed. I'd like to make it to discovery. I think that we owe that to the world. Anyways, you guys, we are revolting against this. We're revolting against the perverts that run the world. And I want to be very clear here. I count you among them. I think you're sick. I think you're disgusting. And I am fully prepared to take on this battle on behalf of the entire world. Okay? That's what I'm going to say. On behalf of the entire world, I will see you in court.
Well. I'm happy that Candace is willing to put in the energy. The thing is, you're not going to get a blood sample from Brigitte Macron. That's the sad thing. It won't be a subject of discovery. And that's really that really sucks, because this could be settled so easily. I mean, you wouldn't even need a blood sample through the mail. You could have literally a molecular biology team on on position, on location, just taking the blood and doing an immediate test that would return whether she has X chromosome or XX or XY chromosomes. It sucks because it would be so easy, but it won't happen. First, because it's not in the interest of Brigitte Macron to do that. especially if she knows that she's a man, then she knows that the result would be to her disinterest. And if she thinks that she's truly a female and she is truly a female, then she still doesn't want to give a blood sample because it's an invasion of privacy and she doesn't have to. So she cannot be compelled for a civil action to do it. Ruth Sternwood says a lot of, this cat lady genocide says, isn't she like Gollum here, JF? She may be accidentally useful in destroying evil. Well, that is profound. That is profound. Is Candace Owens our Gollum? Our ugly troglodyte individual who has lived in the caves for hundreds of years. but we should keep her by our side because, as Gandalf the Grey says, I do not yet know what fate reserves for the role of Candace in this entire story, but I can see that she's going to be useful for something. Indeed, I mean, this is all very useful. It's going to be entertaining no matter what happens. Personally, I'm still on the fence. I think that there is some possibility because Brigitte Macron does seem like she's wearing a wig. And she does seem like there are maybe masculine features to her facial structure. And then there's the whole fact that she would have been a theater professor of Emmanuel Macron, basically recruiting him while being an adult, while Emmanuel Macron was a teenager. So subversion of teenagers is something extremely common in the homosexual thing. So, I mean, yeah, there is a basic case that's laid out. And concerning the legal standards to be met, generally, something, even if something is false, it's not necessarily subject to a defamation claim. If it's a false conclusion that you have reached by steps and logical steps that you have displayed as part of your journalistic reporting, then you cannot be accused of defamation, malicious defamation. So if I'm like, okay, Draco Malfoy is gay. Gay. He's gay. He sucks cock. If I just say that, I can be sued for defamation. But if I say Draco Malfoy is gay because I've seen him state stuff on our regular chat now for 1 year, and it's very feminine, and it has these feminine inclinations to his sentences, I cannot be sued for that one, because I have laid out my reflection, and then my crowd is free to agree or disagree with me, but they are given the ingredients of my thoughts. So as far as I'm concerned, Candace Owens has given the ingredients of her thoughts. She has been transparent in showing her why do I conclude that she's a man. Now, you may not like the conclusion, and in fact, you can even think that these facts are cherry-picked in some form, and it's poor journalistic work, but we're still not in malicious defamation. Because for malicious defamation, she would have had to know stuff that they can prove she knew, and that would totally undermine her beliefs. And that she decided not to reveal this stuff to her audience, or she decided not to reveal to her audience the weaknesses of her own case. But as far as I'm concerned, Candace Owens has revealed all of the weaknesses of her case, perhaps in a militant way, in a way like, I want to convince you that my conclusion is right, but she's entitled to do that. The proof that she has been transparent is that I personally still haven't concluded that Brigitte Macron is a man. This guy analyzes the thing, the Macron versus Candace Owens case. The plaintiff hired great lawyers and has presented Macron's case in a powerful way, but it is not a slam dunk. Owens has significant constitutional defenses. I think she has a winnable case, lack of actual malice being the primary one. These rumors, whether you find them credible or not, have been as widely spread as that stupid Richard Gere story. Repeating rumors that you find credible is generally not actual malice. In a fair courtroom, actual malice would be hard to prove. Remember what that term means, knowing falsity or a reckless disregard for the truth. I'm convinced that Candace Owens believes the story. There's no question about that. So it isn't knowing falsity. Is it reckless? She backs up her claim with reams of evidence. Do I find the evidence credible? No, but I'm a reflexive skeptic. I find the whole thing rather silly. Does that equal reckless disregard? I don't know. I think that could go either way. Yeah, generally, I don't think that she can be said to have recklessly disregarded the truth. Because she has laid out the basis for her claims. Draco Malfoy says, yeah, well, am I even here? I should have just remained a lurker. I'm joking, of course. I can take a joke. Yes, hopefully you can. Yeah, people are misinterpreting this survey. It was revealing that Trump's approval trends among the ages 18 to 29 in early February was 55%. In July, it was 28%. And this leftist says Gen Z is conservative, trend found dead at 6 months old. I think she doesn't understand these, as explained by Aesthetica and HOMAT, those are not young people who are saying, I'm going to vote for the Democrats because I hate Trump now. Those are people who are unsatisfied with the extent of Trump's pursuit of a conservative right-wing platform, and they would want more. They would want more conservatism, not less. So that's why Trump right now is being... there's this and there's the Epstein stuff. Basically, there is a dissatisfaction on the further right wing of Trump. The centrists are probably still those who are still accepting of Trump. Land is a scam. You don't own it. You rent it from the current violence monopoly. This guy was saying he paid $1.5 million to buy a property, but the municipality assesses his house as valued $3.7 million. So now he pays 2.5 times the taxes that he would otherwise. They're making it... they're judging that he has made improvements. He has made improvements worth $1.2 million. And so now your net taxable value is $3.7 million. That is how you end up losing a house. They price you out of being even capable of paying the taxes. And then they wait for your tax account to be high enough, and then they collect by selling the house for you. Absolute parasitism. Ivy League school caves to the Trump administration, agrees to pay $200 million settlement. It's super worrying what's happening with this Columbia settlement. So it's all celebrated as it's a good deal, good deal. Columbia has agreed to pay a penalty of $200 million to the United States government for violating federal law, in addition to $20 million to their Jewish employees who were unlawfully targeted and harassed. Here's my problem with this. There has been massive unfairness in the treatment of university of people by race. And there are two races that are victims of this, and there are two races that are the benefactor of this. The two races that are the benefactor of leniency in the interview process and messing with the values of the interview process are Jews and Blacks. Jews and Blacks have been trying to putting themselves on a privileged stall entering into the university. And there are two races that have been punished by these. It is whites and Asians. So Asians, because they constantly outperform the scores so much that you would have basically universities filled with Asians only if you went by score. And the whites, because they perform good, but they don't have those diversity points that they were adding for people who are Jews and Blacks. So you end up having an attempted overtake and... to an extent, successful overtake of the university system in the last few decades, advantaging Jews and eventually the Jews trying to share their piece of the pie with the Blacks. None of this is mentioned here. And this is where I don't like this deal. It's all framed as, well, Columbia was unjust toward its Jewish employees and students. In fact, there's a whole part of the fine that is paid straight to the pocket of Jewish employees. And so we are here in a case where instead of the reality of the anti-white policies that were pursued by these universities, we have here a veneer. And this veneer is, oh, well, these places have become so anti-Semitic because of Arab students who are pro-Palestine that they have violated the civil rights of the Jewish employees. That is the veneer that they're trying to paint over an history of anti-white institutional racism and anti-Asian institutional racism. So I don't like it. I don't like it because even if, okay, it hits at the heart of the university system, you know, $200 million fine, that's good. That's less money in the pocket of these powerful institutions. But if we don't, if we're not honest about what was the true nature of the racial discrimination, then we have a fake story of solutions. So down the line, Colombia knows what they have to avoid and what they don't have to avoid. They can still dip into somewhat anti-white racism. What they do have to avoid by the standards of this deal is be careful with Jews and be careful with protest against Israel and be careful with letting your student even speak freely about Palestinians. So that's ultimately a loss for free speech and a loss for an American value that somehow was still present in our very hostile institutions, the right to free speech. Now, we need to talk about the new executive order of President Donald Trump. It's an executive order addressing the problem of homelessness, drugs on the streets, and mental health problems. It's a dangerous executive order. It's probably not going to be applied. It's going to be fought in the justice system. It's going to be applied partially, probably. But it's ultimately a very dangerous executive order because it pushes for the use of the court system for finding people incapable of caring for themselves, which I'm all for. If we can all agree that this is in extreme cases of people who are dangerous, of people who say they're about to commit a crime, or people who have repeatedly committed crimes, then this system would be fine. But I'm afraid that the way this is phrased, anyone could be eventually judged to be incapable of caring for themselves, you know? When the state goes after you, inevitably this will be used against white people at some point. Even if not under the Trump administration, I can totally see the Democrats taking power and using this to imprison people for in psychiatric hospitals for political beliefs. Because I remember, for instance, when the state came after me, when the various provinces of Canada came after my family, I had to move. I had to sell a house and buy a house elsewhere. Now, during that time, for 2 weeks, I was carrying my family from the place I used to live to the place I wanted to live at. I wanted to seek cover at. And during that time, it could have been argued that I was a homeless. And so if you're just in the real estate market trying to move your family, and the state has various ways to force you to move your family because they can attack you and they can make all sorts of false allegations, if it becomes illegal to be homeless, I could have been grabbed under this law. Now, of course, I was in Canada, so it doesn't apply. But under this executive order, I'm afraid that someone who is simply in a temporary situation of relocation can absolutely be taken to a psychiatric hospital. Endemic vagrancy, disorderly behavior, sudden confrontations, and violent attacks have made our cities unsafe. The number of individuals living on the streets in the United States on a single night during the last year of the previous administration, 274,000, was the highest ever recorded. The overwhelming majority of these individuals are addicted to drugs, have a mental health condition, or both. Nearly two-thirds of homeless individuals report having regularly used hard drugs like methamphetamine, cocaine, or opioids in their lifetimes. an equally large share of homeless individuals reported suffering from mental health conditions. The federal government and the states have spent tens of billions of dollars on failed programs that address homelessness but not its root causes, leaving other citizens vulnerable to public safety threat. So there is a commitment to restore civil commitment. Seek appropriate cases. In appropriate cases, the reversal of federal or state judicial precedents and the termination of consent decrees that impede the United States policy of encouraging civil commitment of individuals with mental illness who pose risks to themselves or the public or are living on the streets and cannot care for themselves in appropriate facilities. So here you face the problem that whatever the federal government wants to do on this, it's going to be mostly a state thing because it's state social worker, state health, state psychiatry, state civil courts for probates and for drugs, drug courts. So in the end, the states will have many ways to keep the federal government from doing this. So first, what you're going to have with this executive order, if it gets applied at all, if it's not immediately blocked by a judge, you're going to have a phenomenon where certain states will fight this order extremely strong and certain states will not and will side with it. So you're going to have the Republican states are going to be places where you can capture all of these homeless people, put them in psychiatric hospitals, and eventually homeless people will know this. And they will know if you want to be drugged and on the streets, you cannot be in Texas, you cannot be in North Dakota. You have to be in California, you have to be in Oregon. So you're going to have an asymmetric balance developing within the US where we can catch people wherever the local authorities are willing to collaborate. Fighting vagrancy. So there will be enforced prohibitions on open illicit drug use. So there's lots of ignoring that's happening because in principle, it's illegal to use many of these drugs. You have a whole system of social workers in leftist states who are distributing all of the paraphernalia to inject the drugs safely because they believe, oh, well, if we don't give free syringes, they end up injecting themselves with dirty syringes. So all of this is kind of a system of collaboration between the states and the drug users. And Trump is kind of cracking down on this because he's going to crack down on urban camping, loitering, urban squatting, enforce where necessary standards that address individuals who are a danger to themselves or others and suffer from serious mental illness or substance use disorder, or who are living on the streets and cannot care for themselves. See, so one way in which this executive order might be dangerous is serious mental illness, danger to themselves, substance use disorder. Up to now, you have kind of a limited category of people. You're going to catch mostly people who are some degree of need to the system and some degree of danger to society. But see, or who are living on the streets and cannot care for themselves. So that is a looser standard. So if I'm selling my house and then driving toward another place, am I living on the streets during the 2 weeks during which I have to deal with the lawyers and do the trade? I'm worried about this kind of misuse of this act. It's kind of large to say people who are living on the streets and cannot care for themselves. But yeah, it is criminalizing the poor, Rock and DSL. And then you have the question of Will we have white trash campers attacked by this order? Like, to what extent people living in RVs, people living in trailer parks, people living in mobile homes? What is the line at which you cannot care for yourself? That is a worry. So they will be trying to detect people with sex offender registry and not let them live in locations with other homeless where they could victimize women or children. they will pursue to find if some states are violating the 21 U.S. Code 856, maintaining drug-involved premises. Now, when you read that law, it's about you cannot knowingly have a place, a location, where you are permanently or temporarily manufacturing, distributing, or using controlled substances. So things like heroin, that kind of stuff, fentanyl, that kind of stuff. So the way states have been walking around this is they are opening a building for drug addicts, but you can't inject drug in this building. You can come to the building, get your free syringes, you can talk to a social worker, blah, 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 but you have to go outside the building if you want to inject, even if they're giving syringes, because the whole idea is we are not maintaining a premise that violates federal law. Because if you were maintaining a premise where people do inject drugs, then you would be violating the law. But here Trump is calling for the federal government to look into the details of these social worker places. Is it possible that sometimes they're going in the bathroom and getting injected? Unfortunately, the federal law doesn't prohibit the distribution of paraphernalia, which is exactly what these social workers are doing. They're giving free syringes. So then you end up in the neighborhood and because they can't inject in the place, they have to inject in the neighborhood, and then it creates a neighborhood of drugs and criminality. But Trump will be screwing the screw on this and trying to go more severe at this kind of social worker initiative and state initiative. The Secretary of Housing and Urban Development shall, as appropriate, take steps to require recipients of federal housing and homelessness assistance to increase requirements that persons participating in the recipients program who suffer from substance use disorder or serious mental illness use substance abuse treatment or mental health services as a condition of participation. So they're giving free housing, and they're giving it to people who are on drugs. And now Trump will try to get an obligation to be part of a substance abuse treatment program. I personally don't believe in any of this stuff. Like, when you force people into substance abuse programs, They just show up for whatever obligation moment that you define, and then they keep going with the drug. So I don't think we can really fix substance abuse in that way. The only fix that I know to substance abuse is making it unavailable. That will force someone not to abuse. But as long as it's available, I don't know of any psychological program that will get you out of addiction. Shamrock Shake says, there is a place near me. They installed the type of vending machine that gives free needles, pipes, etc. See, it's really not good practice. This was all done, by the way. This whole trend has shown in the years 2000, 2010, with a bunch of liberal social workers who started with the premise, and really it's not scientifically demonstrated, but they will claim that it's scientifically demonstrated. The whole premise of, well, if we don't show some welcoming attitude toward drug users' needs, we can never really connect with them, and we cannot really establish a treatment path. And the reality is, I don't know that you can even make the case that you haven't caused more drug consumption with your experiments there. You've attracted all drug consumers of the world toward these paradises for public drug use, and you've given them free needle on top of it. So I think, and disorder, that's one of the positive points of disorder. It decides that we will, going forward, we will need the facts. We will need objective facts to determine if a program really is helping substance use. Because if it's not helping, if you don't have the data showing that you solved actually some individual went off drugs from your program, then it's not a helpful program. Sunk to the Nuts says, I'll tell you what, Papa JF, all my bodybuilder friends that don't do any real drugs love the free needles for their bodybuilding magic beans. Oh yeah, well, give free needles, to the world, and you're gonna have people finding uses for this these free needles. Absolutely, I'm not surprised that there are other uses to which these needles end up serving. So I'm going to start getting prepared for the Spencer interview. It's in 1 hour 15 from now at 9 p.m. Eastern time. That was all I had to say about this executive order. Perhaps other news to clear quickly. Epstein versus Russiagate. So it is argued that currently the way Tulsi Gabbard goes so strong at Obama is kind of to counterbalance the attention that's given to Trump regarding Epstein. Absolutely. Absolutely. Here we have a woman with an opinion.
I will die on this hill. Whenever I meet men, and I used to say 30, I'll just say 35 plus now, because your guys' frontal lobes do develop a lot later than ours, and our generation.
There's not a single woman in history with a significant contribution to science. And you're going to tell me that women have such higher developments of the frontal lobe. It's like, why don't you start by doing something impressive with your brain? Start by making a scientific advancement. Develop a scientific theory. And then we can talk about how you have a superior brain.
Is different, right? But when I see men that are, you know, you could say conventionally attractive, right? And they're 35 plus, and they have had quite the roster of beautiful women. And I'm meaning like a lot of women, and they're still not fulfilled, or they're still like, oh, I want to have fun. Or it's always the girl. It's always the woman. It's never them kind of thing. I'm sorry. You're either gay and you're shooting for the wrong team and you don't want to admit it, because at this point, how has no woman in your 35 years of life fulfilled you enough and it's always them? Or B, you're the problem.
No. No, that is not true. I've had 200 girlfriends, and they were all fucked up in the head in some form, until at 40 years old, I found the perfect girlfriend, and she was not fucked up in the head, and our life is perfect. So no, definitely, you can have a case where you're not the problem, but the problem is the incompatibility between your personality and the normal average female standard out there. And let me tell you, the normal average female standard out there is fucking is fucked up in the head. It's basically borderline, the definition of borderline personality disorder. That is what you will get if you shoot randomly within the female crowd. You're gonna get nagging, you're gonna get insanity, you're gonna get threats, you're gonna get verbal abuse, physical abuse. That is what women have to give on a random basis, on an average basis. That is it for tonight, boys. I'll be on the Spencer Show although it's a paywalled show, so some of you may be subscribed to the Substack. Join us at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I'll be talking about the news with Richard Spencer. Bye-bye.